I just want to say a special thank you to the worship team for their wonderful worship music. And what an exciting time to have Vacation Bible School back at Stutzensville. The whole team together, the decorations, the preparations, the excitement of teaching children this week. And yes, I'm a little apprehensive because I'm one of the teachers. And it's like, not only do I have to share a message today, but I have to prepare for a weeks-long fun with the children. So I really look forward to that. Today, we are getting back into Mark chapter 8, a pivotal chapter in the Gospel of Mark that bridges Jesus' public ministry and, more importantly, his journey to the cross. This chapter is a spiritual turning point, not only for the disciples, but for us to use as well. So before we get into the message today, seeing clearly is the title of that. You know, hopefully I kind of draw a couple correlations to the scripture. But most importantly, our brother in Christ, Bruce Becker, is in Israel doing ministry with sightseeing for the his ministry in Israel. He is currently en route back to the United States. I don't know today if he got to Rome yet, but he's going to kind of take a journey, not a traditional journey, trying to get out of Israel back to Rome and back to the United States. We need to pray for Bruce Becker, their entire ministry, the people who are in Israel during this time. But I would ask throughout the week that we lift up Bruce Becker, one of our family members, our church family members, in prayer. So with that, please join me in prayer this morning. Gracious and loving Father, we come before you as a church family, weary of the weight of the decisions. Our world leaders, our president, and also our church leaders face. You see all the struggles we face, both seen and unseen. You know the pain, the confusion, and the longing in our hearts. Lord, we confess that we do not have all the answers, but we know you do. You are our refuge and strength and our ever-present help in trouble. So we turn to you now, asking for your presence to fill this place, fill this people with peace, wisdom, and hope. Lord, please help heal what is broken among us. Lord, strengthen us when we feel weak. Restore what has been lost. Where there is division, bring unity. And more importantly, where there is discouragement, breathe fresh courage in each and every one of us. Today, may we be reminded that this church is not just a building, but a body of believers, your body, Christ, and that you are not finished with us, and you are not finished with this church. Even during this difficult time, shape us to be more into the image of Christ and help each one of us prepare for the work that you have for us to do. We place our trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Sorry it's a long prayer, but there's, with everything that has happened this past month, this past week, and really even last night, we need to really draw closer to Jesus and pray. So today, the message is seeing clearly, and I hope to get to 3 points maybe in this message. But let's just start with the scripture. If you want Just turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 8. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people, that they have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." And his disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" And Jesus asked, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and when he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few fish as well. He gave thanks for them and also told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Here's the key thing. About 4,000 were present. After he sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but Dalmanutha. During this time, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus to test him, asking him for a sign from heaven. In the east of the Pharisees and Herod, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for 1 loaf that they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of this discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketful of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketful or pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you not still understand?" So earlier we covered, I think it was a month ago, feeding of the 5,000. And now in the Bible we're reading about Jesus feeding the 4,000. So what is the difference? Well, you may say, well, the difference is 1,000 people. However, I'll get to a very important difference that I'd like you to see. So last month we talked about the count of the feeding the 5,000 described in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. It is important to note that both Matthew and Mark record 2 different feedings of the multitudes. So you may ask, why did Matthew and Mark share 2 similar miracles or miracles of the same kind? And what was really added to the gospel story by including a second feeding of a smaller number? It may seem odd. So during this week, I started, well, wasn't there just 1 feeding? And then I got back in my Bible and, you know, what is the real meaning of this? The answer, I'm not a realtor, I'm not. But the answer is location, location, location. Just think about that. why is the story two different feedings in the Bible? The feeding of the 4,000 is important because of where it took place. As you all remember, the feeding of the 5,000 took place near Bethesda, close to the Sea of Galilee. However, in contrast, what we're reading today in the Bible and God's Word, the feeding of the 4,000 took place in the region of Gerasenes, in the region around Decapolis. Okay, so you say there's two miracles took place in two different regions. So what? Why is it important? The first feeding of the multitudes took place with the Jews or in the Jewish area. Why is the second feeding important in the Bible to read and study? Because it took place in the Gentile regions. So when you look at that, you're going to see together that the scriptures will bring Jesus's and God's compassion for all man, not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles like me. Also, as I studied this, and this message in Mark kind of took a life of a Bible, kind of for me, a Bible study. The second miracle, 7 loaves were used and 7 baskets were collected. The number 7 has symbolic completeness, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. The number 7 is reminiscent of the 7 days when God created all humanity. So as we study further, both miracles show the provision of the Lord, his love for his people, both Jew and Gentile. And let's go to the next slide. Jesus later, so think about feeding the multitudes, both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus later will claim in John 6, I am the bread of life. Let that sink in. I am the bread of life. Jesus feeds them with miraculous bread in preparation for the day when he would have his own body broken like bread on the cross, offering us spiritual, offering me and you spiritual and eternal nourishment for all who call upon Jesus, his name, and place their faith and trust in Jesus. Just to continue my study on this, because there is one bread, we, who are many, are of one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. 1 Corinthians 10:17. So let's go to the next slide. As we study further in Mark 27 through 29, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, Who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others say one of the prophets. But how about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And he was saying this to Peter, and Peter answered, you are the Messiah. So this is the question that Jesus asked me and each one of us today. Who do you say I am? So let's go to the next slide. The first point I want to talk about in my message today of seeing clearly is the danger of spiritual blindness. We just read in Mark 8, Jesus fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread, And immediately afterward, the Pharisees came and demanded a sign. They had just heard or seen a miracle, but their hearts were hardened. So Mark 8, verses 17 and 18. Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? Jesus warns the disciples about the yeast of the Pharisees, a symbol of unbelief and spiritual blindness. Like the Pharisees, I can be surrounded by things of God. This church, the scripture, God's word, miracles. And yes, we and I can still miss the point. Why? Because we are not blind physically, but we may be blinded or not see clearly spiritually, and that includes me. So in my message, I was trying to kind of put some of this together and what has transpired and really praying kind of for a path forward. I kind of delved back into a message I gave a long time ago on spiritual gifts. And I think I grabbed a discernment message, and I'll just bring two points up. Let's So we'll just hold there. The message is on discernment. Is discernment as leaders opens us up to an entirely different reality. And this was in my message, I'm going to say over a year ago. The wisdom of God is beyond all human understanding. However, it's available to all of us as we learn how to open ourselves up to it. And that was 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. So my takeaway is, and I'm talking to myself, it does no good to discern the will of God if we are not committed to doing it. Think about that. Are we willing to do God's will even before we know it? Or are we more like, God, show me your will. You know, if I like it, I'll do it. I keep thinking I have a vision of a vending machine, and I save my vending machine Jesus. You know, I want this, you know, go up and pick this thing. So I have to challenge myself with this. You know, the reality is if we're going to discern the will of God, we need to be committed to doing it. So end of that point, let's go to the next slide. So in this story, I'll just move pretty quickly. Jesus heals a blind man at Bethesda, and that's in Mark Mark verses 22 through 26. But it's a two-stage healing. I thought Jesus healed and restored everyone in an instant. But in this story, the man was restored sight in a two-stage healing, and thus, when I started putting this together, that's where I came up with seeing clearly. At first, the man sees people who are like trees walking. So he had no sight, then he had partial sight. And then, ultimately, his full vision was restored. So you may ask, why are there two steps? And this mirrors the disciples' own spiritual journey. At first, they partially see who Jesus is, but they do not fully understand. Just like that man that lost his sight, we need Jesus to keep touching our lives until we see clearly. And for me, it's multiple steps. You know, as I walk closer to God and study more in the Word, you know, I'm able to see clearly, and I have a long way to go. So I just, you know, as I wrote out this and started doing my study, I keep thinking of application. How can I apply this to my life? And I just came up with a couple questions. Where might I be spiritually blind? Are there areas in my life where I'm not seeing, where I'm seeing partially or not clearly? I have to go back and back again to ask Jesus to touch me again, to help me see more clearly who Jesus is and what his purpose for my life is. I surely, if you asked me 2 years ago or when I retired, would I ever be comfortable getting up and sharing the Word of God in front of our church family, I would have said absolutely not. But God wasn't done with me, and he's not done with you either. So let's go to point two. The truth about who Jesus is. I mean, we shared this. We read this. Peter said, "You are the Messiah." Peter gets it right. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not this wonderful miracle worker. He is the Christ, our promised Savior. But the disciples' idea of the Messiah was wrong. He expected them to be a conquering king, not a suffering servant. They wanted him to save them, restore everything, make everything great again. And that's why when Jesus explains that he must suffer, be rejected, and be killed on the cross, Peter rebukes him. And in Mark 8:33, responding to Peter, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter saw, but he did not yet understand. Peter had the right words, but the wrong expectations. Let's go to the next slide. So as I kind of studied this, and maybe some of these messages become kind of my study guide, I was left with, is Jesus the Messiah you want? Or is Jesus the Messiah you need, that I need? Do I accept Jesus, or do we accept Jesus on his terms? Or do we try and mold and craft him into what we think he should be? Are we searching for a vending machine Jesus? Following Jesus means letting him define what it means to be Lord and Savior, not us. Point three, the cost of following Jesus. Mark 8, verses 34. Immediately after Peter's confession, Jesus teaches what it truly means to follow him. And in this verse, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This is one of the hardest truths in the Bible. Sounds easy, but when you apply it to yourself, it's really difficult. To follow Jesus is not just to believe in him, The hardest thing I struggle with is to die to self. I have a lot of things that I think I know and, you know, I want to do and personal goals and aspirations. But what does God want me to do? What does Jesus want me to do? Furthermore, Jesus says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." This is radical. In our culture of self-fulfillment, Jesus calls us to what? Self-denial. That's hard. That's hard for me. I'm selfish. I want stuff. So what cross do we need to carry? What part of yourself, my pride, my plans, my sin, needs to die so that Christ can live in me? To follow Jesus is costly. But rejoice. The reward is far greater. Eternal life, peace, a sense of purpose, His presence working and the Holy Spirit working in each one of us is such a great blessing and reward. So as I close the message today, who do you say Jesus is? You may not know the answer like Peter did. You are the Messiah. But have you accepted the suffering Messiah, that one who calls each one of you to pick up your own cross? Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for followers. If you've never answered the question personally, today can be that day. I ask that you reach out and ask one of the church leaders to pray with you. Or if you're spiritually blind, ask them for a healing. Or if you're spiritually not seeing clearly, ask for a healing. If you've been following a version of Jesus that's comfortable, surrender to the real one. Please join me in a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see you clearly. Help us not just to confess you as Messiah, but to follow you as Lord. Teach us to deny ourselves, take up your cross, and walk in your steps. During these troubled times, we just asked for your wisdom for our country, our leaders, and more importantly, the protection of the servicemen and women that keep our country safe. May you watch over them during this time. I know your will be done, but just through this, just ask for peace for the world. We love you, Jesus. We trust you. Help us once again to clearly see you and to follow through faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.